I couldn't be rightly blamed for thinking of France, not at all, really. Either way, I was riding the motorcycle in the presence of dangerous people in uniform, and in this part of the Bayou, I heard about as much of the other language as I had back in the Ardennes. It sounded right the same, too, at least to my ears. The machine was newer, faster, bigger, one of Mr. Davidson's new 32V models. When the Kingfish had money, the state police tended to get it, and the moonshiners didn't have artillery. Hat would have been the same if I'd been an officer in France. The road was a mite better than the old communications trenches, at least the ones that didn't have the duckboards. It was worse than those. It was mud and ruts and sand for all what Governor Long had promised he'd do and done where the folks who voted for him the most lived. A lot of men didn't like working down here in St. Bernard's Parish, what with the bad roads, the creoles, the water, and the trees. I didn't mind it too much. People are nice enough if you give them expect them to be and give them the chance to be, white or colored, Indian or Cajun. I'd got my rank by my calm nature, which showed itself in my giving folk a chance to fess up to things, or drop the rifle or the knife, didn't want to kill anyone, not a lot of them wanted to die. I can say I'd done well. When folks smile at the uniform and the star on the machine, that's a good thing, wave as you go by, and I'd rather have a glass of lemonade on an auntie's old porch than a charge of buckshot coming back when I kicked open a door. Kids would come up and ask to honk the horn bulb on the machine, or like as not tell you about some bad men back in the swamp and save the whole troop a mess of trouble. That day, there were signs if you were looking. I should have heeded them. You don't know when it's real and when it doesn't matter, or when it's just the same message twice over so you don't miss it. Blue Jay flew right to left across the road, then two others further on. I spat over my left shoulder on the first one, should have, after them's next two. Can't fault my guardian angel. He was doing the best he could for me, and I don't think he gave up on me at the time, nor even later. In fact, I'm sure of that. It was hot. It was July 26, 1932. They had just put up a big earthquake. They just had a big earthquake out in Los Angeles. The hurricanes had not yet started down here, but you could think about that. Things were tense over in Alabama, but the folk down here didn't seem too worked up. Life's too easy in the Bayou if you don't expect more than the Lord provides. I had a bandana tied around my neck. It's not as if we didn't have the feuds and some stills out in the swamps a-working, but we let the boys know if they drank more than they sold and didn't make us notice it, they'd get by, and I kept my eyes open more for the lowlifes out in the city who'd come down here and think they could hide out in a cabin a spell, whether someone else rightly lived there or not. Knock on every door once I got out of the towns. Gave me a chance to stretch my legs and pass a howdy with the folk of my assigned patrol, get a cold biscuit, glass of milk, maybe a smile from a pretty girl or nice old folks. Made you feel good about wearing the badge. Had to watch yourself in the heat, though, and they knew at the pumps at Mr. C.H. Murphy's filling stations what I'd do if they sold me gas with paraffin oil in it. Stop the machine cold, it would. Not much besides could make me more ornery than that. Depression real bad, and everyone blaming poor Mr. Hoover as if he'd done all the speculating in Florida or made all those farmers plow up the Dust Bowl. My people were always of the other party than most folk around here, starting with the rebellion. Not that we made that fact known. It looked right like that Mr. Roosevelt was going to promise himself into the White House. He reminded me too much of Kingfish Long for me to rest easy in my mind about him winning. You do your duty and pray a lot as I did and done. Times were bad, powerful bad, but the folk down here were poor before it all started, couldn't get too much poorer after. I was doing all right. They needed me in the state police, and at least now we could carry our revolvers outside the uniform. Good thing we wore that rig they called a Sam Brown from the last war. The belt with the shoulder strap over the shoulder opposite your sidearm. Kara and I had officially had just happened. I had me a big Colt new service and the old long cartridge my daddy had used in Cuba. Didn't often need to pull the trigger on that cannon. Accurate thing, though. You could shoot a crew off a stump at 50 yards with it. Not that I'd waste a 45 on a bird like that unless he was in the cornfield itself and the levee was behind him. I wasn't the killing sort, and I didn't aim to be. Couldn't rightly abide hunting after I saw the look in a buck's eyes as he lay dying. Granny Thibodeau lived outside of Moreau. She was old and liked to fare on toward poorly, which worried me some. I knew that some of the church ladies would come out there of a while, but I made a particular point of calling on her when my route take me past her Masson. Creole as they come, Granny Thibodeau. Acadian stock, down from Canada before the Revolution and down in the Bayou ever since. Folks said she was a wise woman, but she was the kind folk looked to see. Nothing bad ever happened that got blamed on Mamère Thibodeau. Her cannas on the long front porch were still bright. That was a comfort, and I thought about turning back up the drive and getting on with my rounds. But she'd have heard the motor and be expecting me, and I wouldn't disappoint her. Put the machine in its rear stand on a harder piece of ground, threw a bushel basket over the seat to keep the chickens from pecking at the lining. Don't laugh, it's happened. Hung my goggles on the handlebar. Granny didn't keep a dog, but a cat or two walked round the barn and glared at me. Hey-o there, Mr. State Police, we're just minding our business, and won't you do the same, thank you? I smiled, took off my hat, and knocked. What a fright I had then! Door flew open just after, and didn't Granny throw a big pail of her soapy dishwater right in my face? I could see her face crinkle up as I howled and nearly, and I do say nearly, swore at my sopping clothes and dripping badge and buttons. Granny was all aflurry with the apologies and the I'm sorries.
I did not hear you coming down, and I look at you. You take out those clothes, garçon. The saints have my stove going for the dishes. I dry your garçon, babe. You take a towel off the press there, and you keep the rust off your metal things.
That's how people that deep in the Bayou talked in those days. They called us the Texians for not talking like that. What she was at was by way of apologizing for soaking me down the way she had and planning to make it right. And wasn't there an old linen duster, clean, too, of old Daddy Thibodeau's hanging on the front door hook, and she had me put that on in the spare room while she held my drawers and undershirt up to her fine cast-iron stove and got them dry with a rush. I took a bit of her lamp oil to wipe down my revolver and cartridges and threw the rag in the stove when I was done with that. She had a bit of a fresh beignet and coffee for me as I sat there. She had me smiling and laughing at the whole thing with her apologies and garden gossip, and my, she could still bake at her age. Then she had me going back in the room, dark in there, while she handed in my drawers and shirt, and I got the rest of me dressed while she chattered on. I was glad to listen for a fact. She had a good hold on all that went on in that part of the parish, and I learned a lot more with my ears open than when my mouth was in the same condition. She had me dressed and ready in less than an hour after she'd thrown the water on me, and she was fine, she said. Never better, but would I call upon the Martins 3 miles down the road toward Shell Beach? She'd heard of some kind of trouble out that way, and they'd be glad to see me. She gave me a hug and a kiss on the cheek, blessed me in her own way, tucked a bag into my hand as she saw me out. I had a moment to think while I arranged my traps and got the machine ready to start. Put Granny's little sack and the leather saddlebags on the machine. What had she been about? Granny was old, but she wasn't foolish, and her eyes and ears hadn't yet failed on her. I knew that she knew that I knew that she'd thrown that water on me a purpose, and the fact it was clean, soapy water without a bit of the kitchen in it would have proved it to someone who didn't know Granny. She was a good old soul, and as I've said, a wise woman. I didn't doubt that what she'd done for good reason. Wouldn't do to dwell on it, but I should have been more on my guard. I look back, though, and I'll tell you, I'm not certain as to how doing anything differently would have prevented it at all. Lucius Martin and his Susanna were waiting at the gatepost when the machine and I rumbled up their little stretch of road. Had to watch like a hawk on that stretch. Pothole would send you right over the handlebars and into the mire down there. It was real bad on that road, not too far from the mess around Lake Boyne in the lowest country. I'd like people like Lucius Martin as much as I favored Granny in a different way. It was a case of a man with a head and his back rising, using both to get by. They were hog farmers, the Martins were, colored folk who stayed away from the towns and let their stock root for what they could find in the swamps and lie up in the mud out where no one could take offense or cause them trouble.
Afternoon, Mr. G.T.
Lucius, Granny said you might be having some trouble out here. Lucius nodded hard, pushed back his old straw hat and mopping his head with a red cloth. As I said, it was hot that Tuesday. The hogs smelled, and he'd been in the sun, but a man who can't turn off his nose won't last in the state police in Louisiana, at least the year out. You let the chaff get you, it lets you go. And I wasn't one to offend a man like Martin when no offense was called for.
I can get you a glass of water. Something out here, Mr. G.T., scared my hogs powerful this morning. Thought it might be some Tahoe bear, maybe. They'll come out for that, but I could say that I heard a horse screaming. Could I have wandered off and gotten into a bad hole, perhaps? Might you let me take you out for a look?
I had to smile and shake my head again. Granny didn't have a phone, and I didn't care to think how she'd found out that Lucius Martin had had his fright that morning.
All right, Lucius, all right.
We walked out past his pens and wallers out into the areas where he drove the hogs every day. Lucius had himself an old Winchester pump gun like they'd used in France, and I paused to look at the chamber on the colt. No, it wasn't for some bear or Tahoe, big dog. It was for a rogue hog, and if you don't know why we'd be a bit worried about that, you don't know your hogs. My own sainted grandmother had been yanked off the porch as a little girl by her older sister before a big hog could get her, and you didn't want to take the chance on one getting savage or scared enough to take a piece out of your leg on his way by. Lucius was getting on in years, and his boy was up at school at the Tuskegee Normal and Industrial Institute. Things had gone by for a while, so we found the trails were overgrown and enough for us to need a sling blade to hack through the worst of it. We were near the banks of one of the bayou heading up toward Lake Boring itself when I heard what had bothered Lucius, and it was a horse, and it was making quite a ruckus. I didn't like what the sounds brought back to my mind, which is what had been left when one of the big German whiz-bangs had caught an artillery team of ours in the open back in France. I had to put down a poor beast myself, and I wondered if Lucius raised an eyebrow at my wince and shake of the head at a sight I could have done without seeing. I imagine Lucius had his own reasons for holding back a bit as we pressed forward, besides being able to pull me out if I fell in, I mean. It was a bad morass, that's a fact, where the poor animal had gotten into, and it was making sounds you couldn't think a horse could make if you hadn't heard and seen what I'd seen in France. I couldn't blame Lucius for taking a fright at noises like those. I called out to the beast as soon as I saw it, and it quieted right down. I could see its ears going forward to catch the sound of me. Its head came up fast. I thought it might be this Lissick. No, that's a bad spot. Has a bad reputation, Mr. G.T. Goes back to my granddaddy's time, and most of the neighbors stay well clear. We've lost more than a hog or two in that way. I had it fenced over years back. Guess the bayou took the wire. Lucius was putting a brave mask over a scared face as he looked at the Spanish lichen hanging down off them twisty live oaks and cypress that loomed all around the slough. You'd hear gurgles and bubbling made me touch my revolver. A gator would not be unheard of in a place like that. I looked out at the horse, which, a mercy, wasn't struggling at that point as it waited for us to do something to help it. If it had struggled, it had sunk faster in that stuff. Didn't seem to have struggled much before we got there, but it was down to its shoulders in the muck. It was an older animal, now that I got the look at it, ribs showing just a bit, hindquarters up and bony, but a good animal for all that, and it didn't look injured enough for me to rightly do the coward's easy thing and shoot it. Dark dappled gray with a whitish muzzle. Lucius, do you have a pirogue on that bayou or know someone that has? You ought to be able to pull it even in that if you can get over. Martin thought about it a piece, then nodded. There's one a few rods up that row my boy and his friends kept up for the frogging. I could keep that. Think we'll need it? Oh, I'm a fool enough to go out there on my own. It doesn't look that deep. But why don't you go and get the thing and pass the word to Susanna what the matter is? You don't have a team, do you? No, sir. Master Blatchard come out from Chalmette with a truck when I've hogs for him. I nodded. I think I can get the beast out of that without one. If I might have access to your shed, thank you. You bring down the pirogue and I'll holler if I need it. What I was at, of course, was in sparing Lucius Martin would look to be a dirty, messy, and maybe dangerous job. He was a strong man, farmed all his life, but he was past 60, and I didn't want him taking the apoplexy or worse trying to help me wrestle that nag out of the mud. He'd be at getting the pirogue, that's a dugout wooden boat, the poor folk use them in the bayou. Well, I was wading out to the animal with a rope around my waist and getting at a trick I'd seen used in the army when a sutler mule got himself into a similar fix. Boat could come in handy for that matter. Yes, it could. Lucius probably had a proper axe over in the slaughtering pen, but I didn't favor the sights and smells there just then, particularly after remembering what them horses had looked like back in 18. What he had in his woodshed was good hemp rope and a lot of it, and a heavy splitting maul with a grindstone to freshen up the edge, which I did before I made my way back to Les Zic Noir, as Lucius had called that slough. That maul had a good ash handle, but it was a heavy, clumsy thing compared to an axe. The hammer end could be useful for what I had in mind, so I didn't bother Susanna for something better than that heavy thing before I made my way out back. Day was getting on, and I didn't want to be out with the bogs, hogs, and frogs after dark. No, I didn't. Mercy, but it was hot. I could hear the animal whinny out as Lucius and I turned our backs on it, and I did a foolish thing that shouldn't have worked. That was hanging my hat on a broken bough upwind of the animal, figuring the sight and scent of it would tell the horse that we were coming back to help. And as I breathed, the animal did quiet down once I'd done that. It was staring right up the trail as I made my rope fast to a not-too-big black gum, growing, providentially I'd say, not far behind a very large live oak. Other end I made round my waist if I did get into a fix. It wouldn't be for being improvident. Threw another coil of heavier rope over my shoulder and kept on my Sam Brown and the colt, just in case something out there decided to give me trouble. All right there, Mr. Horse, I'm at waiting out to you. I'm taking off my boots, socks, and pants. If you want to laugh at that, go right ahead. And if you'll cooperate with the law and wait for me to do so, I think I can get you out of this. Draped my things over a low gum branch that hung near. You may doubt that the animal nodded at me right after I said that, but it did, and I didn't question. I just nodded right back and walked out there. Going wasn't too tough. Susanna Martin would have salt if I got a leech on me, and no water moccasin in his right mind, which is about half of them, would want to be anywhere near the fuss I was making, what was stirring up the water in the mud as I made my way out to where the horse stood quietly. I patted his neck when I reached him. That was the first of it. I'll tell you a story to make the point. I was at walking through a cemetery up near Lafayette to see the grave of some great personage or other, I forget just who, and I suppose I should have been more polite than to walk across a row of graves to do so. When I walked across one particular grave, my sight went black and I nearly fell. I never did know what was the cause of it, except that my folk are Welsh, and there was something in that ground that I pray to God and my guardian angel I never meet again. Wouldn't go down the street next to that graveyard after I got out of there that day, never again. That was like that. When I touched that horse, this thing suddenly went black, and it was like having your foot fall asleep all over you, if you can understand that. Thought for a scare moment I might be the one having the apoplexy instead of Lucius Martin. I heard the horse scream again and try to shy back from my hand as I stood there. and then I felt it, whatever it was, well, pull back real sudden, like a hand reaching out to catch a moth and finding out it was about to grab an angry hornet. Difference was as plain as the dying daylight. I could hear the birds, which had been quiet in the heat, suddenly make a ruckus like you could fire a cannon right among them, and there was flapping and hissing, and it could have been a gator that made the track in the water straight away from where I and that scared horse stood trembling and shaking in the heat of a very hot afternoon. I don't know which of us settled first, the horse or me, but I felt the animal's lips a-pulling at my undershirt before the animal laid its head on my shoulder and pulled me to his chest, as if to say, "I'm very sorry, G.T., I didn't mean to appear to take exception to your presence, but that scared me, too." That's what he meant for a fact. We both of us stood and took breath for a long time, but whatever it was gone. I could feel that it was gone. It took me a long 10 minutes to get control of my arms and legs again and turn myself back to duty. He was still at hugging me when I passed 3 links of rope and some sacking behind his shoulders and twined them together so that he'd have not just one rope tearing at him when I'd done what I was about. I was a bit nervous when I moved down to his haunches. Animal and state troopers are sensitive in certain areas, but he couldn't really kick at me, trapped as he was, when I started passing rope and sacking around his loins. Kept expecting to hear his teeth in my have his teeth in my shoulder, but he was a calm old thing. Maybe he had a habit of wandering into bogs. He didn't, and had been through this before. Once I had him lashed fore and aft, I couldn't pass some rope through to the 2 loops on either end of him, take a taut line hitch in the ends, and knot another loop into the middle of the ropes around his spine. The horse swung his head around and looked over my work, then, "If you please," nodded again and settled back down to lip at a bit of water on the surface of that slough. I couldn't help but laugh at his attitude. "Very glad, Mr. Horse, that it passes your inspection. Now, if you'll wait just a bit more and longer, you'll see a thing to remember. Good thing for you, I remembered it." I put an old fish line into my pocket back at the shed with a nice lead sinker on it and no hook. While the horse watched, I threw that, and neatly, over the thick bough of that monstrous live oak that loomed over us a good 20 feet up. I was proud of myself, I'll say, but my old father was the one for casting a line. My mother once lost a cushion which she was to sit on while I watched him fish in the river, and he brought that back hooked to the shore with one cast of his rod. For a change, I wouldn't have disgraced him with my own toss. With a sheet bend, I tied the other end of that fish line to my heavier hawser, and with some careful work and the bark of the live oak being smooth as it is, I had my heavy rope on one end over that branch and the other end tied with a bowline in the middle of the rope harness I'd made around my friend with the hooves. The horse looked at me quizzically, I thought. "Well, don't you see, friend? I'll just pull on the rope here and lift you out slick as a whistle and twice as cheery." The horse snorted skeptically. "Doubt I can do it?" The animal nodded. His, rather. Some things were cleared up when I was tying up his haunches. Ears going back a bit. "Then look, sir, and you shall see." By that time I heard a "Helloa," and I could just make out Lucius Martin some rods off in that pirogue, waving his hat and hollering to me. He said he couldn't get over to the slough. There was a fresh fallen tree right where the water came in, and had taken a tree or two more down with it, probably in the hurricane of the year before last. I shouted back that it was all right, and that if he'd land where he could, I could use him, but that he need not hurry, and that matters were well in hand. Probably looked as skeptical as the horse did, not that I could see him, but I showed them both and another that day, and I still don't regret it. Took my rope around that gum I'd noticed earlier with a proper clove hitch, and a moment to thank the Boy Scouts of America and an old sailor I'd met on my travels. That gum was everything I wanted. Very tall, not too thick, and diseased, so I didn't feel too horrible at what I was fixing to do. I should have mentioned that I had also appropriated a rusty old tooth saw from the Martin shed, and with that I made my back cut and hinge with a fair amount of ease and speed, and it was getting more than a bit dark by the time I had that maul out and made ready for the final conclusion of my grand design. Lucius Martin came up, and I'll say that he took the whole thing in with a glance. With him pushing and me chopping and hammering with that heavy maul, that tree came down. The trunk fell as it fell, lifted that old gray horse out of the bayou as slick as if I'd done one of Mr. Murphy's lumbering cranes to do it. The horse made a surprised sound and stared down at us, ears flitting, while I put down that maul and took my bows. The mule had much the same expression. It was a matter next of taking that loop up the felled tree enough to let the horse dangle to where Lucius and I could get a grip on him and pull him onto the bank as we lowered him down to where his hooves could find a purchase. He stood real quiet, blowing, as I took the ropes from him, and didn't he lip and nuzzle at my shoulder again by way of a thank you, before going to crop at a bit of the swamp grass that grew around the end of the trail. I laughed and petted at him. Both of us were caked in mud from the shoulders down. "Will you please stay to supper, please, Mr. G.T.? Lucius, I'll take a bit of something on your porch as soon as I've had a run at your hose pipe, but with the mud and the scratches I've taken in the last 3 hours, I am not one fit to grace your table. Mrs. Martin will be theatrically upset, I am certain, and nonetheless grateful for my discretion." I could see Lucius Martin's white teeth gleam in his ebony face as he smiled at that. "I can't say that you have that wrongly, Mr. G.T., so you'll be traveling on." I nodded, gnawing at the bone of the nice cold pork chop Suzanne had put out for me on the porch. By that time, we had the horse clopping behind us on a cord, a halter, as we rounded up the ropes and tools and made our way back to the distant lights of Martin's farmhouse. I will, Lucius. If I don't, I'll be looked for. I'll ask you to mind and feed this animal here while I report and post word of his rescue at the telephone in Shell Beach. Awful lot of trouble to save a horse, Mr. G.T. He's a nice horse, Lucius. My neck got nuzzled. And have you forgotten that the Louisiana State Police was founded to look for stray animals? Stray people was an afterthought. For all the aches, mud, and smell, we were both able to laugh at that as we turned the horse into an empty hog pen and turned the hose on me.